Have your Bibles, you'll find the text in 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. Are you glad to be saved today?
Amen.
Amen. I think we could do better than that. Are you glad to be saved today?
Amen.
Amen. I know I am. And I thank the Lord for being here. It is an honor and joy to be here. I'm thankful for the Help Ministries and this Calvary Baptist Church. Thank the Lord for that. And what a blessing that is to be in God's house this morning. And to be able to worship Him on a Wednesday morning. It's already been a good week, and we thank the Lord for what He has done for us. 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. And I want to read just a few verses. Very familiar part of Scripture. And I just want to preach on just a little simple thought that the Lord has given us. And I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. I'll tell you just a little bit about myself. He said just a little bit. We are Pastor Philema Road Baptist Church in Albany, there in Leesburg, Georgia. And y'all think that maybe South Georgia is not a mission field, but just come on and we'll show you the gnats that we have and you'll see that's a mission field right there. So anyway, it's a good time, but no, we enjoy what the Lord has let us do and we thank the Lord for that. 2 Kings chapter number 2, like I said, I want to go through this passage of Scripture, but I want to read just a few verses and I want to, many of y'all know, y'all been in church, this is the cream of the crop this morning, so I don't want to say too much about it and read too much, but I want to see, as we know, this is coming down to the end of Elijah's life and as he is fixing to pass from this world into heaven. And what a glorious day that will be for you and I when we get to pass from this life into heaven. I thank the Lord for that. But as he is getting down to the time of his life, we find that there is someone that is coming to take over his position. And his name is Elisha. I don't want to say too much because that would ruin the message. But I want to start reading in verse number 9. And it says this in 2 Kings chapter number 2. It says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless," I like that word, nevertheless. "Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." Then we see in verse number 11, he is fixing to be caught up and appear to chariot of fire. We all know this. Verse number 12, "And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over." And we'll stop reading right there. As we look at this passage of Scripture, as I've already mentioned, it is coming down to the end of Elijah's life. And Elisha is fixing to take over. And I want to preach on, in verse number 14, a very familiar line and saying. If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard this preached on probably. But it says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And this morning, we have no question on where God is or where God stands. The same God that we preached about or those that preached about in the 1800s is still the same God that I'm preaching about in 2018. It's the same God. He has the same power. He has the same unction. Now, I want to change that and we say, where are the Elijahs of the Lord God? But I want to preach on this statement this morning on, it's our turn. It's our turn. Young people, I want to challenge you that it's our turn to do something for God. It is not just something that is going to be in 10 years or 20 years, but today is the day that we make a decision that it's our turn that we want to stand and do something for God. Now, I was raised in a Christian home. My dad is a pastor. My grandpa is a pastor. The last thing that Aaron McCulley wanted to do was be a pastor. I had seen how pastors lived. I saw that pastors got treated like this and did that. But God called me to preach. And it was a calling just as real as salvation was to me. It was a calling that I could not get away from. I tried my best to. I entered the call to preach at the age of 15, and God dealt with my heart. I went down. My dad was studying one Saturday night on a Saturday night getting ready for Sunday. And as I was going down, I told the Lord in my bed that night, "Lord, you can have me." I was the shyest person on the face of the earth. I never testified in church. I had never said anything, taught a Sunday school class, but God called me to preach. And so as I went down there, and Dad knew something was wrong with me, and he asked me what was wrong. I said, "I think God's calling me to preach." He said, "Well, that's great. Then you can preach Sunday night." And I remember standing up in the pulpit that Sunday night and my knees trembling as so much as I did not know what was doing. And I'd studied for hours and preached 5 minutes. Now I preach for hours and people wish I could stop, but they're saying all these different things. But can I say, it is the calling of God that there is now something that it takes time. It is our turn to do something for God. But there are men and women that are dying that did something for God, but now it is our turn to step up and say that I want to be the one that has the power of God on their lives. Now, as I think about being prepared for a turn, now, as I look into being prepared, now, I went to a Christian school, most like y'all did, and not a big Christian school, a smaller Christian school, and as I went, we had a basketball team. I enjoyed playing basketball as a young man, and that was one thing that I wanted to do before God called me to preach, and then God changed my desires, but I enjoyed that. I enjoyed shooting the basketball, I enjoyed playing defense, I enjoyed layups, I enjoyed scoring, but there was one thing that you had to do to prepare to play for a game. You had to prepare to get in shape. Now, us as Americans, sometimes that is hard for us, including myself. If you see Aaron McKelly running, you better run too, because I'm not running for fun. And if there's anybody that runs for fun, we're going to pray for you, because I don't understand that. But I remember walking into basketball practice as a freshman, and my coach would say, "Okay, we're going to line up, we would do layups, we would do shots, we would do different things." But then at the end of practice, we would line up and do suicides. Now, here's the amazing thing. When I was doing suicides, I did not understand what I was preparing for. I knew that I hated life at that very second. I hated life. But I did not know that my coach was preparing me for something that when the fourth quarter and we were down by a couple points, that he was preparing me to be in shape when it mattered the most. This morning I find a man by the name of Elijah that God prepared for this day. Young people, this afternoon, guess what? God is preparing you to do something big for Him. Now, here's the amazing thing. You don't have to be a preacher to do something amazing for Him. You don't have to be someone that is a missionary, but I believe God's calling people, and I believe He is, and I believe God's working with people. But it is a time that whether you're going to pick up trash on the side of the road, not for being a jail, not for being someone that is put in jail, but for fun, or for your work, or maybe someone that works in a hospital as a nurse, or whatever your job might be. Then I believe it is time that God is teaching us that everybody has a gift, and God wants to use you in a great way. It is a preparation for the time that your turn is fixing to come up. Now the preparation, Elisha was plowing, preparing for what God was doing. I remember when Elijah came to Elisha, he found him plowing, and he said he put his hand upon him, and Elisha stopped whatever he was doing. He said goodbye, and he went to do what God wanted him to do. You know what? I find out that Elisha must have known something about God before this instance with Elijah. He had to be doing something. I see two things about him, and very quickly, if you listen quickly, I'll preach quickly, is this, is that number one, he was working, waiting for his turn. He was not just waiting for something big to happen, but he said, "I'm going to do something and waiting for what God wants me to do." There's a preparation. In Christian school, you learn the Bible every day. I'm sure you have Bible classes, you come to church, you go to chapel, you do this, you do that, you're learning the Bible, you're learning scriptures. It is a preparation for there's going to be a day where God is going to use you in such a great way. And don't take it lightly this morning. There's preparation. College, people that are in the Bible college this morning, You are preparing to do something big for God. And don't take that preparation lightly. Now, I see a couple things about Elijah and Elisha, and it's his turn. It's our turn this morning. Number one, I see this, not only the preparation that he was preparing for this day. I could say much about that, but I don't have time to say exactly what I'd like to say about preparation and being a leader. And you cannot be a leader until you are a follower. Don't expect God to give you a leadership position if you can't follow those that are in leadership over you today. Here's the amazing thing. I was associate pastor in Jacksonville, Florida. I worked for a guy, and I'm thankful for a pastor. I love him today. The pastor that I had was not an easy pastor to work for. I'd say that to him. He said this when I came on staff. He said, "All I ask from you, Brother Aaron, is perfection." I knew that I could not handle perfection, but I strived every day to be perfect, to do what he wanted me to do. He was a very perfectionist. And you know what? It trained me for doing what I'm doing today. Now, y'all know my dad was my pastor my whole life. I started church when I was 18 years old. And I found out that pastoring is a lot harder than just preaching. And I found out this, is that I could not learn what I thought I could learn from my dad because I was too stubborn to listen. Now, y'all know that's about right for everyone out there. Y'all might not want to say it, but we're too stubborn sometimes to listen to those in front of us. I had to get out, and God said, "I'm going to send you out, just married, fixing to have a kid, and I'm going to prepare you for what I have for you and the future." It was not very fun in preparing. It was not fun running, preparing for the game, but it prepared to get me something to say, when it's your turn, you'll be ready. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Okay. Now, preparation. I wasn't supposed to say that, but that's okay. Number one, we see this. We see that it's our turn to have faith to ask God of big things. Look at what Elisha asked Elijah. He said this in verse number 9. "And it came to pass, when they were gone, that Elijah said unto Elisha, 'Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee.' And Elisha said this, 'I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me.' And he said, 'Thou hast asked a hard thing.'"
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
This morning there is, and I'm hurrying, this morning there is no new news to you this morning, that our country, our churches, I wish I could say we're on an upward spiral, but our country is on a downward spiral. And today I'm asking God to do something big. Can I say this, and I say this humbly as I can, I am tired of hearing and reading stories of what God has done for others. I enjoy doing that. I'll read stories about how God sent revival and God did this, young people. But here's the amazing thing, is I'm tired of reading it for them. I want it for me. And I want it for you. I want to say it's our turn to ask something of God that's so big that we don't know how it's going to get done unless God gets in the middle of it. Can I say, I'm asking God for my county. I'm asking God for my state. I'm asking God for our country. Let's go together this morning and say it's our turn to start asking God for something big that we can't even fathom or we can't even believe, because my God is the God of impossibles this morning. He is the able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than we even ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Can I say God is able to do big things? Number two, it's our turn to see God do big things. Watch this. Now, this is not deep. I know. I'm just a South Georgia person. Things make me happy, maybe don't make you happy. But I see this. Elisha asks a big thing. He comes around and he says, Elijah says this, "If you see me when I go up, it's yours. It's yours." Now, he turns around and he sees what he just asked for Elijah to do for him. It happens. I started church when I was 18 years old, and I'm almost done. I started church when I was 18 years old. I don't recommend that to everybody. I was crazy and young and still crazy and young. But anyways, I started church and I asked God. We started a storefront building. We outgrew the storefront building. And as we were growing, there was a church that called that they had shut down, and they asked if we would like to buy their building. Of course, I walked around that place. I'm just a country person. I walked around and I prayed and asked God to give me this place. At the time, we did not have the money to do it. I would go after I got off work. I would go around. It was 10 acres at the church, and I would pray around it. I would ask God, give me this place. We need it bad. I would go off of work every day, and I would ask God to give us this. At the time, God told me no. A couple months later, they came back and they told me this. What can you do? I told them, this is what I can do, what I'm doing here at the storefront. They said, it's yours. I walked into a brand new building that had just been built a few years ago with 10 acres, seats already there, a piano, Sunday school rooms, everything was ready to go. I needed money to turn the power on, and I needed money to put gas in the propane tank to put where we could heat the place and all these different things. Had to buy Sunday school material. We had all kinds of stuff I had to buy. I was out at church one afternoon and at a missions conference almost like this. And I stepped in, a man handed me a check. It was a missionary. I didn't think nothing about it. I walked back outside. God had already put a number in my mind. He said, I knew we needed about $5,000 to do what all we were doing to get ready to get in that new building. I didn't look at the check. I didn't really pay attention to it. It wasn't that big. I got home that afternoon and was getting ready to go to bed. I pulled out that check, and believe it or not, it was a check for $5,000. Can I say, this is the amazing thing. Young people, it's our turn to see something big. You don't have to wait and read it in a book, but God can do it today. Number three, I'm done. I'm almost done, I promise. We see this. Not only is our time to have faith, to ask big things, it's only our time to have faith to see big things, but now it's our time to have faithfulness in what God is doing. I want you to see this. When Elijah goes up, the mantle of God falls out. It is laying there. Here are two things that Elisha could have done. He could have gotten mad at God for taking his Elijah. Or he could have got bitter at God and said, I'm done. But I found out that Elisha trusted in the God of Elijah. This morning, I don't know how we're going to do to turn this country back to God. But I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. That we will see big things. And I found out this. He went over there. He took the mantle of Elijah. He put it the same way that Elijah did. He went to the Jordan River, which is impossible to cross by his own power. He saw Elijah do it before, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he laid that mantle down on the Jordan River, and it passed, and it began where he could walk through. I want to remind you, there have been men and women that have been faithful before, and what they did will still work today.
Amen.
You say, but McCullough, what do you mean it? They say in Bible college now, just take away the blood and, you know, everything will be okay. But I think I'm going to go back to what happened and worked before and still preach the blood. They say the King James Bible doesn't work anymore, but I'm still going to preach the word. They say that All the things that we used to do in preaching the Word of God doesn't work anymore. But I found out that when God's Word is preached, it will go to the deepest parts of people's hearts. And it will change the hardest man and change the hardest lady. The Word of God can take a drunk and make a father out of them. The Word of God can take a harlot and make a mother out of them. It's our turn to be faithful. And what God's Word said is to preach the Word and be instant in season, out of season. I'm done. Everybody standing over here, about your eyes closed. Is it okay to give an invitation just for a second? We're all standing over here, about your eyes closed. Pastor's coming. I want to ask one question this morning to our young people, anybody in this room this morning.